just share a reflection, really, from a couple of readings from the lectionary. I don't know if you're too familiar with sort of more high church tradition, but the lectionary is a set of sort of three-year readings that I guess some clever, scholarly, pastorly type people way brighter than me set years in advance and set the text for the Christian year and try and pick passages that really follow the Christian calendar. And I decided I dabble in it, so I'm dabbling in it this morning. So there's a couple of readings I just want to reflect on this morning that started this year. The good thing about going to the lectionary readings is it takes you to passages. You all know pastors have their, preachers have their favorite passages, and they turn every sermon into that sort of talk. And actually, one of the benefits of going to the lectionary is it takes you to passages that you wouldn't actually turn to yourself. You'd probably find another one to go by. So we're in the book of Ecclesiastes at the start of 2017 I'm just going to read from chapter 3, verses 1 through to 14, and then we'll be in Matthew's Gospel as well. Feel free just to listen, or if you want to follow as well. And I just want to offer some short thoughts as the kids go and build or play or do something, or listen deeply to what Daddy's saying, probably not the latter. Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them they may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. This is God's word for us this morning. It's a very old passage written maybe sometime in the 10th century before Christ. Attributed to Solomon, perhaps, maybe not. We don't really know if it was Solomon who was the actual author, but many would say it would be Solomon, the great king full of wisdom. Surely it's him who put some of these such insightful words together. The writer of this book of wisdom, Ecclesiastes, is it's always when you read it, there's such a profound sense that was written so long ago, but could be as relevant for our very lives, our very world today. But the trouble that the writer was, I think, addressing was that we exist in a fallen world. I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race, is how he captures and places in the middle his surmising on time. And I guess there's just a really simple recognition at the start of this year. As we read it, this writer says to us, life is complex. Life has many different seasons. Life is going to have different moments whereby it's to plant, to sow seeds, or seasons where it's actually less about planting, it's more about uprooting, tearing down, And there's a whole layers upon layers of seasons of complexity to life that the writer just so beautifully lays out before us for his listeners to go like, you understand how life works? Let me tell you, as I've reflected upon life, it's broad. It's deep. There's many different colours, many different seasons, many different layers. Now, this can be read, and the scholars, the jury's out on this, and this can be read, and you choose. This can be read optimistically as the sort of scintillating picture of life. There's a time for death, there's a time for birth, there's a time for planting new things, new ideas, and a time to let go. And the optimist would maybe read it like that. They'd go like, there's a time for so many different things. Isn't life amazingly beautiful, complex, and rich, and colourful? And that might be a true way to read it. But there's also the scholars who are like, it's a bit more like, life's hard. It's brutal. It comes at you and it rips things off you. It leaves you with anxiety. It leaves you taking life. It leaves you with having to let go of things you don't want to let go of. Tremendous depth to it. But there's a sense, and whilst you choose however you're going to read it, my little insight is I'm going to read it optimistically today. There's a sense of actually God's hand in this. But I think the real thing that the listener would have to wrestle with is the writer's trying to say, look, this is a fallen world. There is things that are going on in this. But essentially, I want you to notice a couple of things. That there's a rhythm and timing laid out in this that his readers and listeners couldn't control. And I think that's one of the most profound points in this whole list of the different seasons. The different seasons that are going to come. The point is, he is saying to his listeners, you can't control the seasons. They come at you. They're set and they come at you. You can't control them. And it also goes further. Not only can you not control them. Now, we can control some things. We've got decisions. We've got free will. We can make some decisions. That for sure. But the time to be born, the time to die, all these things and this time, this rhythm comes out. You can't control it. And more than that, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So not only is he trying to say to us, right, is this complex, mixed up, fallen, broken world that's going to come at you, you can't control it, you will also not be able to understand it all the time. Fathom the ways of God. I don't know about if that's what he's trying to say to his listeners, what that would say to us in our the complexity of our fallen world we live in, the complexity of what maybe lies ahead. Maybe at the start of this year, I would love to be able to say at the start of this year, maybe this is going to be the most awesome year ever. 2017 is just going to be incredible. And it probably will. There probably be amazing things that happen. But there may also be things that we're going to have to let go of. Maybe some things are going to have to be torn down in 2017. And whether or not we like to think about these questions, though I obviously observe when we sing songs about difficulty, mixed up plan, even death. Why on earth would you talk about this at the start of a year? Come on, you're meant to be building this up. But here's the thing, life comes at and raises the question. Whether or not I raise it from this passage, life will come and raise questions for you this year, as it maybe has for the year that's gone behind, of complexity, birth, death, the full spectrum of life. Up to you. We can read it optimistically. We can read it pessimistically. Sometimes we don't get the choice in that. Maybe it's just depending on what sort of year we've had in 2016, you know, really influences how we're feeling about the year that lies ahead. And perhaps we need to just shut out the social media people who are telling us what the year was like and actually listen to what God might be saying to us. But we also, like the early listeners all those centuries ago, have to wrestle with these two ideas that we cannot control what happens fully in the year that lies ahead. I say with a smile on my face, we cannot control fully, and we are also not always going to fathom the ways of our Father. We can't control Him, and we may not understand fully His ways. We may be into things unknown. But yet, our writer, in his wisdom, captures something of the transcendent purpose of God that kind of is above, below, around. It's just like the massive backdrop of He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's a sense here, he's not saying this, I don't think, to put a burden on you. Oh my goodness, what's going to come at me in 2017? I can't control it. I'm not going to understand it. He's saying, you won't be able to understand it and you won't be able to control it, but there's an author at work behind it who is weaving a story, in the language of Ecclesiastes, weaving something beautiful in its time. In other words, it may not look beautiful, it may not feel beautiful. In its time is something that pushes us into the mystery of God, His ways, His purposes, His thoughts that are way above our thoughts, His plans that are way bigger than our plans. And our writer is pushing us to think about the author, the one who does know the beginning from the end, and think about that hand that's at work. And so the response, really, at one level is simple, and what he points to is that there would be a thankfulness for what we have. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. And so we can choose, however we come at the start of this year, and to say, with what our Father has given us, we're going to be thankful and receive what He has given us with thankfulness. But in our second reading, Jesus goes further, Matthew 25, and Jesus talks about, actually, if God is the one in control of this world, if God is the one Lord of our lives and going to be leading us into 2017, is not only to enter into it with a thankfulness for what He does give us and what He has given us. According to Jesus in Matthew 25, it's about investing also in the kingdom of God. And there was this challenge from Jesus: when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit on His throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He'll separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when was it that we saw you and hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when was it that they saw you stranger and welcomed you, or naked and give you clothing? And it goes on. It says, in all these situations, you're meeting Jesus. And He says, look, in all that lies ahead, He paints a picture of Jesus, the end, the one who's going to return, the one who's in control of everything. And He says, not just in the meantime, kick back, be thankful, eat, drink, and be merry, and just, you know, have a good time. He says, invest in the kingdom of God. Which, for Jesus here, was actually invest in other people. Invest in your neighbour. What to do with what we're stepping into? Who knows what the plans are? Are we going to look in insecurity and fear? Or are we actually going to say, in light of Jesus coming, He's not saying sit back and wait, just be thankful. He's saying invest in the kingdom, invest in neighbours, invest in other people, orientate yourself around My kingdom. What would that look like? And the question I was kind of wrestling with the last few days is, what could I do, or what could you do with all that God has given you to invest in His kingdom? What could you do with what God's given you to invest in His kingdom this year. I don't know if anybody here set any New Year's resolutions. I'm always pondering new things at the start of the year. I do annually ponder, am I this year going to grow a beard? I take a few days off, it grows, and I hands up if you think I should grow a beard. Hands up if you think I shouldn't grow a beard. Hands up if you could not care less. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. It's just something I want to do. I go on Pinterest, I look at hipster beards and think, what does it take to grow that beard? And then I chicken out and think, I just think nobody will, you'll judge me and all that stuff. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, I'm not talking about that sort of investment. It's about an investment in other people. Investment in the kingdom. And so the question, what could you do with what God's given you to invest in the kingdom? What could you do with your business acumen to invest in the kingdom? What could you do with the time you have this year to invest in the kingdom? What could you do with your money that you have? Could you be invested in the kingdom? Is there a particular relationship that God is saying, focus on that, because if you focus on that, you'll be investing in my kingdom? Is there a different way of working, where work is less about this rat race and this thing that just demands you, and actually somehow work is placed primarily in, what does this do for the kingdom of God? How can I express the kingdom of God? Do I need to work differently? If I'm properly going to do as my Lord and Savior is asking, invest in his kingdom, what would that look like? I read a tweet this week, and it's kind of one of those helpful ones, because it kind of was landing big abstract ideas in the concrete reality. And it was a bit of a rant against having big abstract ideas. Love your neighbour, and then what does that actually look like? And I kind of, here was four things that I was taken away with. Well, what would loving my neighbour look like? And there's four kind of practices this author, if that counts on Twitter, but anyway. One was going a prayer walk around your neighbourhood. Go on the prayer walk just to observe, see what's there, and keep your eyes open. If you've never done a prayer walk, you keep your eyes open, you walk around, pray silently, because then if you pray out loud, people think you're crazy. So prayer walk around your area. She also suggests knowing the names of your neighbours, knowing the names of people in your street, in your area, or in your network. Being a faithful presence. Being there at particular places, times, just a faithful presence in your neighbourhood, in your area. Some of you just know it. Some of you have done this for years. And then fourthly, she said, engage with those people who are different from you. Not just people like you. Not just the ones who are, you know, have the kids like yours and like your, you know. Engage with people who are not like you. And so I want to leave us with that simple question. What could we do with what God has given us to invest in his kingdom? Let's pray together.